Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. The fundamental Buddhist teaching tells us that the cause of our human suffering is what is known as attachment. In our everyday terms, it means that our grasping for things and our desires and our greed is what brings suffering into our life. Now, when I first heard about this teaching, it struck me as being just right. It held a lot of appeal for me. And I guess the term that we use is resonate. This teaching resonated for me. The notion that greed and attachment are causes of suffering touches many people, both intellectually and emotionally. And we know from our life experiences about the anxieties that arise when we try to cling to something. And we know about the grief when we lose something or someone. And this teaching touches us in an ethical sense as well, because we do not really want to be greedy. Deep down, that's not how we want to be. So this very simple teaching does strike a chord in us. We come to this practice from the experience of our own suffering, and we learn to give up attachments and to let go of troublesome desires. But of course we learn that it doesn't happen all at once. Through practice, we learn not to overreach for things of our everyday world. And as we continue practice, we move towards a simpler way of life. We find great value and comfort in this simplicity. It gives us a sense of something spiritual in ourselves. But actually, it is not so simple. Living a simple life may feel good, but it is not the complete answer. We have to see beyond our own personal lives to resolve suffering, because our lives and all life is about engagement with other people and with things, as well as with nature. This engagement is an undeniable truth. We cannot escape it or work around it. Our life is to be engaged with everything, even if we live in a cave. Each of us is dependent on each other, and we rely on each other. And this is not only in a material sense. So in a very, very large sense, everything in this world is one big sangha, one vast community. And when we have that feeling that everything is part of one big sangha, when we consider how our life has come to us and how the things of this world comes to us, we feel gratitude. And this is the basis for spiritual practice, and this is the way we end suffering. This gratitude. So the benefit of our practice is very wide. In the early days of Buddhism, They called it merit. When the monks practiced, they were earning merit. And they were sharing it with ordinary people who didn't practice. So Buddhism has always maintained that the benefit of practice is for the entire world. Our practice is not limited to just taking care of ourselves, taking care of our own life. In other words, the practice is beyond improving our personality or building up our character or putting an end to anxiety. True practice is based on gratitude for all beings and understanding that everything, everyone, and everything in the world is mutually supportive. When we have this understanding, we are on the right track. But without this appreciation, we will not be able to truly give up attachments. And we will not be able to put an end to suffering. Even if we live a very, very strict ascetic life and give up all comforts and all pleasures, and even if we feel like that we are deeply sincere. So when we live a life like that, very ascetic and very strict, it looks and it may feel like we are giving up all attachments. But without understanding our mutual connection for each other, the suffering continues. Because we feel separated. So we have to learn to understand and to appreciate what it is that flows to us through others. So the important point for us through our practice is to clearly see how our life extends in all directions, how our life extends to everyone else and to others, and how all existences extend to us. And we also have to see clearly the ways in which our life can intrude on others. And that if we don't have a clear mind, we can make problems. So even though we may believe in our way very sincerely, and see and believe how our practice can benefit others, it would be a mistake to push our practice onto others. This would be the same as insisting that our personal ideas are the correct ones. This is a kind of arrogance. Like saying, I know something wonderful and you don't. It's a kind of arrogance. Or, my knowledge will make your life better. This would be a mistake. This doesn't help anything. So if we feel that way, that we know something others don't, even though we may feel very sincere and honest, and we feel that we are helping, if we push our views on others, it gives the feeling that we don't trust. It gives the feeling that we do not trust that others are sincerely seeking. So our practice must take place with each other, but quietly. By quietly, I mean with humility and gracefulness. Not showing off. No pride. Even shyness sometimes. But mostly, our practice takes place quietly when we mostly listen to each other and say as little as possible. Otherwise, if we speak too much and don't listen enough, there is the danger of arrogance and intrusion, where we need to create trust. So to avoid becoming intrusive on other people, we listen. We listen to them. And listening is more important than talking. We listen to everyone's ideas and everyone's point of view. And we explore with each other how we think and feel. And we do it with a clear mind. And by observing our relationships, having a feel for our relationships, without preconceived ideas of right and wrong. This is how we move to put an end to suffering. And this is also a mind that is at peace with itself. But if we are stubborn, if our mind is stubborn, it becomes very difficult to listen, fully listen, because we remain attached to our own cherished beliefs. So our practice is about softening our stubborn mind, loosening up the stubbornness of our mind, so that our mind can become free of attachment to preconceived ideas. When we learn to listen to the world completely, there's no stubbornness, and there is no danger of intrusion on each other. So we should listen to each other even when it's our turn to talk. We are still listening. This is our attitude. And we listen to ourselves continuously, so that we can be aware of the traces of our mind. Intrusion. No. When somebody is intrusive on other people, intrusion does not require the intention to intrude. We don't decide beforehand, I'm just going to bust right in, I'm going to intrude, and I'm going to push my ideas. There's no intention there. We can be quite unaware when we are intruding, and this is part of the problem that the world faces. But if we intend to intrude, if we are aware of our intention to intrude in somebody's conversation and in somebody's life, this is good. This is a good first step. We are aware of our intrusion. And that can set the stage for changing of our attitude so that we can move from being intrusive to being courteous and avoid upset. But it's when we are unaware that we are intruding that there's a problem. Because it means we are unaware of our own mind and the relationships we have with everyone. So, to put an end to attachment and to put an end to suffering, we need to become grateful for our life and for everything that happens. And it begins, of course, with paying attention to ourself and to others. And this is the first thing that we are taught when we come for some basic instruction about Zen practice. Beware. Pay attention. Beware. Pay attention. It's the first thing we learn, the first instruction we receive. We pay attention to ourselves and to others, which means being ready. There's a very famous Zen story that features the very famous teacher from the golden age of Zen, 8th and 9th century, considered to be the golden age. His name in Japanese is Uman. Chinese is Yunmen. And he was the founder of one of the five major Zen schools back in those days. And those schools are gone now. Most of them are gone. And his school died out after 200 years, but nonetheless, he was quite well known. There are many stories about him and many anecdotes about him. And he was well known to be very straightforward in his teaching. Very straightforward. So here is a story where when it came time for one of his evening talks to his monks in his temple, he presented them with a koan, with a story. He asked a question. And when nobody offered an answer, he answered his question himself. And his answer was, every day is a good day. And some of you may know this story. He said, every day is a good day. Buddhist scholars and Zen scholars have various ideas what this means. But I think, very simply, it is a story about our attitude and our understanding. In other words, when we are selfless, we can honestly say, I have never had a difficult day in my life. Every day has been a good day. Never had a difficult day in my life. Only sometimes I wasn't ready to accept whatever appears in my life, and there was some problem. But actually, it never was a difficult day. Difficulties arise in our life when our mind is stubborn, not willing to accept. When we cling to our cherished ideas about ourselves. So our practice is about dropping off our stubbornness and letting go of ideas about our personal desires. And in that way, we create for ourselves a ready mind. And that's when we appreciate the truth that every day is a good day.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.